This is Your Life, Lester Hansen. Tonight marks the beginning of a new radio entertainment. This is Your Life. Each week, the audience to relive his life at our microphone, confront him with the actual people who shaped his life, hold his past up to him to relive sacred moments, renew forgotten friendships, to review and reverse the yesterday that has been his so he can better view the future, the tomorrow that is to come. This is Your Life. And tonight, this is Your Life, Lester Hansen of Spokane, Washington. And now, coming on stage is Lester Hansen. Good evening, Mr. Hansen.
Good evening.
I'd like to have you meet your guide on this trip through your past, Mr. Harry Von Zell.
Hello, Lester.
How do you do, Harry?
You call me Harry, that's the ticket. This formal stuff of Charlie's is a little too stiff for me. Lester, I want you to be... Are you perfectly comfortable?
Fine.
That's the way it should be. And we want you to know that we're not going to ask you questions. We're not even going to ask you for the answers, as a matter of fact. We're going to tell you the answers. This will be your life. Things you may have forgotten. Are you afraid of your past, Les?
No, I think I've had a pretty good past.
You do. You think your life has been interesting and exciting, huh?
Pretty much so, yes.
Well, let's let the folks listening judge that. Let's hear what kind of a life you have had. You ready to accompany us back into your... past life, Les?
I'll follow you all the way.
Okay. Sounds a little nervous.
No, I'm really not.
I don't think you will be. First, one last look at today. Your name is Lester Eugene Hansen. You are 27 years old. You're from Spokane, Washington. So far, that's about all we know about you. You ready to go back through the years and hear about Lester Hansen?
Yes, I sure am.
Okay, Les, hang on. Remember, this is your life. Still with me, Les?
Following you? Okay.
Okay, this is, of course, only a short way back. This is October 6th. Not 1947, but 1946. 1 year ago. Oh, boy, what a day this is.
Yes.
Well, need we ask what happened October 6th last year, Les? What did happen?
Well, I married about the most wonderful girl in all the world, Harry.
Oh, boy. Well, as a matter of fact, you're getting married, Les. Remember, this is 1946. To your mother's love, which has followed you through the years, you're adding the love of a wife. Now, listen. Were you too shaky this day to remember this boy?
Take it easy, Hans. It will all be over in a few moments.
Who is that, Les?
That's my best man.
Who?
Joseph Gusmeroli.
Yes, indeed. That's your best man, Joseph Gusmeroli.
There we go.
Well, don't look so surprised, Les, or Hans, as they called you. But you remember now, this is October 1946, and Joe is here at your wedding. You think he'll make it, Joe?
I've seen him in rougher spots than this, Mr. Von Zell.
Yes. I'll bet you have. And it's too late now, Les. You want to guess who's coming in now, Lester?
I think my bride is just about due.
Well, your bride... Well, not yet. Remember, this isn't 1947. This is October 1946, and Ethel is still Ethel Miller.
Oh, that's...
But it is Ethel, and here comes the bride. There she is. Lester, Lester... Here is the bride in person. You see, if you'd known this was going to happen today, you might never have married the gal, would you, Les?
Oh, I think so. I think I still would have.
You would have anyway. How about you, Ethel?
Nothing in the world would have kept me from marrying Hans.
Oh, how about that, Hans?
Oh, honey, that's wonderful. That's all.
Nothing in the world, Ethel said, would have kept this October wedding from happening. Let's see how very nearly Ethel was wrong. Would you just sit over there for a moment, Joe and Ethel? Plenty of time to talk about the future, but right now let's get on to the past. Through 1945, back to 1944. You ready, Les?
Following you.
Well, hang on. Listen closely. This is Your Life. This is 1944, and a crackling morning on the island of Biak, crackling with heat and Jap machine gun bullets. There are no church bells here less, no organ music now. That's nearly 2 years away. That's a whole eternity in the future. What was it Ethel said? Nothing in the world could have kept me from marrying Hans. Well, no need to recount that June morning on Biak Island, Lester. I guess you remember most of it pretty well, don't you?
I remember it very well, Harry.
You were the captain in charge of an advance group. Out front, you had spotted the Japs much closer than the forces behind you realized. Too close to save the troops behind you unless you could delay the advance of the attackers. So you ordered your men on back, saving their lives at the risk of your own. And you lay down on the jungle floor with a loaded carbine and started your long, slow, retreating action. Still with me, Hans?
Still with you.
You remember hearing the one important shot? Remember hearing it hit the tree, Hans?
No, I don't remember that, Harry.
Do you have any recollection after the Jap's bullet hit the tree and in a freak bounce ricocheted into your body?
No, I don't remember that. I just, I was conscious, of course, all the time, and I do remember the things that followed immediately thereafter.
You remember then that the American tanks did come up, that the Jap advance was repulsed, and that for a long time you lay helpless in no man's land.
That's right.
I should think you would remember. Do you remember your old first sergeant who was waiting for you to come back off that hill on Biak? Do you remember Forey Brayton?
Yes, I do remember Forey.
Forey Brayton.
We thought we lost you.
Why, oh boy, it's been a long time since I've seen you.
You remember this fellow, Lester, do you?
I sure do.
Tell us about him, Forey. Was he a good patient?
Tell you the truth, we thought he was dead. It wasn't until 3 years later when I saw your picture in the paper here in Los Angeles that I realized you were still alive. It's really good to see you, Hans.
Well, my gosh, it's great seeing you, too.
Oh, I bet it is, Les. By the way, what do you do now, Forey?
I'm the owner of the Pom Pom Inn here in Los Angeles.
Is that so? Well, we want to thank you for your friendship to Hans. And Lester's mother thanks you, too. Of course, his wife, Ethel, can't thank you now because she doesn't exist here in Lester's life, June 1944. So they carried you back to the aid station, Lester, and it wasn't until then that they found the bullet had lodged in your spine and that you were paralyzed from the neck down. That was June 15th, 1944. The hospitals followed, Letterman, McCaw General, Madigan General, and Birmingham. And it was at the McCaw Hospital PX that you found Ethel.
That's
Ethel,
right.
Isn't that right? Ethel, tell us what happened when you met Lester.
Well, he used to come in on his gurney.
His what?
Gurney. That's a bed on wheels.
Oh, yes.
And I would cash his checks, get him coke, and, you know, just kind of talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Did you, was it a case of love at first sight?
I fell in love with Hans the first time I met him. When he got a little better, we used to go for little outings. I took him to an Elks affair. I was a drum majorette for the Elks.
Oh, is that so?
Yes. And then a mutual friend kept kind of plotting him on, as Les was very, very bashful.
Oh, he was?
Oh, yes. So, finally, he did propose, and we did get married.
And all the time, Ethel, Army doctors were determined that a man's life would be given to you and that that life would be Lester's. There were three blood transfusions there at McCaw from a boy named Grant Robinson. You remember, Les?
Sure, I remember Grant. I'll never forget him.
Is that... I wonder where Grant Robinson is now, do you know?
He's living in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
I had written to him from time to time, but it's been quite some time since I've heard from him. But
probably
he... If we ever go there, we're sure going to look him up.
Well, you won't have to. He's here, too. All right.
How are you?
Good.
Good. How does he look to you, Grant?
Fine, doesn't he? I've never seen him look better.
He certainly does look fine, and I think he's a little excited right at this moment.
So am I.
Well, you were right, Hans. Grant is living in Salt Lake City now. Isn't that right, Grant?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Well, why don't you write once in a while?
He's supposed to... I wrote him the last letter.
Well, that's the way it usually is. As a matter of fact, the war brought out a new sort of brother, didn't it, Hans?
Sure did.
Sort of blood brother, too. A brotherhood that lots of boys share throughout this world tonight. Incidentally, what nationality are you, Les?
I'm Danish.
Danish?
Mm-hmm.
What is your nationality?
I'm English and Irish.
English and Irish?
So I'm...
Well, that makes
all
you a
three.
Little of each, doesn't
That's
it?
Right, huh?
Yes, there is a new sort of brotherhood transfused by the war. What are you doing now, Grant?
I'm a draftsman in Salt Lake.
Do you enjoy your work up there?
Pretty nice.
Well, Les Hansen here is studying law, and the wheelchair he's in and the paralysis from the waist down has strengthened his determination to be a very great lawyer. The first indication of Lester's persuasive speaking abilities came on V.E. Day when he was selected to make the V.E. Day speech at Macaw General Hospital. You remember any of the speech, Hans?
Oh, I remember the colonel called on me. I don't know why, but I gave him a little speech and tried to give him a bit of a pep talk because I had been in the Pacific and I knew that there still was quite a war to fight over there.
Even in spite of the...
was over with in Europe.
Yes. Do you remember any of the words of the speech particularly? We have time. We'd like to hear a little of it if you can remember it.
I don't remember much. I did say that I knew firsthand that the Japs were a plenty tough foe and that everyone here in the United States still should continue to carry on as they had been because the war was far from being over.
And so, Hans, you were continuing your contribution to the war, even if they had sent you home to the hospital. Yes, it'll take more than a Jap bullet to stop you, Les Hansen. Well, now, this is only a small span of your life, 5 years out of 28. Full years, to be sure. But what about 1941, 1935, 1925? What about all that? You want to hear about it, Hans?
Sure, let's go.
Okay. Hang on just a minute, and we'll be on our way. Well, Hans, you ready for another trip through the years?
Well,
remember, we know all and we tell all. You're not afraid to hear more.
No.
All right, here we go. Well, that was a long one, wasn't it? You still with me?
Yes, sir.
Thought I'd lost you there in 1942 and 41, but I caught up with you here in 1939. You recognize this place? Listen now. You recognize the sound at all?
Sounds like some sporting event of some kind, or...
Well, let's see. You recognize this sound? What is
it? I'll say I remember that. That's my old school. I was going to college there in 1939.
Yes, sir. This is 1939, and you're at what college?
Whitworth College.
In what city?
Spokane, Washington.
Spokane, Washington. That's right. Brother, this is a long way from the island of Bjork. And look at that footwork. Watch it. Richardson passes the ball to Steele. Steele shoots it back to Hansen. Hansen pivots, dribbles down the court, evades one man, cuts in. Hansen's heading for the basket. Boy, what footwork! He's racing for a setup. Up he goes, and it's in! 2 points! What a player it is, Hansen! Yes, sir, a beautiful shot, Hans. A perfect shot. Do you remember the score of that game with Montana?
No, I don't remember the score.
Well, we'll refresh your memory. It was 33-31 in favor of Whitworth. Your goal saved it. Seems like you were always saving somebody, weren't you, Les?
Well, I don't know about that. My high school song.
Is what, Les?
That's my high school song.
Yes, that's your high school song. What high school is that?
North Central High School, Spokane, Washington.
That's right. We skipped right past those 2 years. You worked at John W. Graham's bookstore and as janitor for the church. And this is North Central High School.
The name of our school cries.
time since I've heard that.
Yes, North Central
sure
Highland.
Sure brings back a lot of memories.
And this is graduation day.
Olive Bidney.
You know what
Leonard
that is?
Leonard Foreman.
You recognize
yes.
the name?
Yes. That's my principal's voice.
Marie Calkin.
That was when we were giving our diplomas.
Ruth Evelyn Calkin. Johnny Delante.
Johnny Delante is now a ticket agent for United Airlines in Spokane.
Wright Dearborn.
Wright Dearborn is the owner of a war surplus store in Indianapolis.
Louis DeVoe.
What happened to Louis DeVoe, Lester?
Well, the last, he was lost at sea, I believe, Harry.
Yes.
Dorothy Field.
But this is graduation day, June 9th, 1937. I think they're coming up to your name, Les. Are you happy you're graduating from high school?
I sure was. I wanted to go to work and make some money.
You sure are, because that's what's happening now. What are you going to do when you get out of high school, Les?
Well, I was working part-time at the office supply store, and I was going to go back there and work full-time.
I see. This is high school graduation day. I think your name is coming up pretty soon now, Les.
Lester Hansen.
That's it. Go on, Les. That's you. Principal F.G. Kennedy is handing your diploma to you. Go ahead, take it.
Yes, sir, here he is. Here you are, Lester.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy.
And congratulations.
Well, what do you say to this, Lester?
Well, I don't know. This is sure a surprise. I knew that Mr. Kennedy had retired from the school. And I never thought I'd see him down here.
Well, here he is.
Well, Lester, you're a fine student. Even if you did light a firecracker last month in study hall.
Oh, yes. Well, we knew about that. But I understand he wasn't alone, Principal Kennedy. Les may have lighted the firecracker, that's true. But I think it was Irving Lissy brought it to study hall.
I did not.
What? Wait a minute. Who is this?
Hi, Herb. Man, I never thought I'd see you down here.
Well, this is a surprise, I can see. That these boys did all right, too, didn't they, Mr. Kennedy?
Yes, they did, but they get along fine. You bet your life. They'll go places, they will. Sure they will.
Yes, indeed. And have you, you want to give Les his diploma now?
There you go. I gave
it
to him
have
already.
It right now, Harry.
I see.
What about my diploma?
Yours? Oh, you know, I haven't forgotten that firecracker, you know.
Oh.
No, sir.
Well, Irving did get his diploma. That you probably guessed. Anyway, that's future. Let's go on back to 1936, Les. It's junior prom time at North Central High School in Spokane. You remember any specific incident about the junior prom?
I know that I wanted to go very badly, but I didn't know how to dance at the time.
Oh, well, that was a sort of a handicap. What did you do about
that? Well, the school at that time was giving dancing lessons to all of the students who didn't know how to dance. So I went into the gym there and took lessons along with the rest of them so I could go to the prom.
That's a good way to promote business for the prom, isn't it?
Yeah, I had quite a date, I thought, at that time. So.
Ooh, do you remember the girl you took?
I sure do. Her name was Christine Ripplinger.
Christine Ripplinger. And did she know anything about your not being able to dance and the fact that you had to go take the lessons at the school?
I think she did, yes.
Uh-huh. She didn't have to take lessons.
No, she didn't. She knew how. She was a very fine dancer.
What is Christine doing now, do you know?
Well, I heard that she was married, and I believe she's living in Spokane.
Uh-huh. Wonder, was she a pretty girl?
I thought she was very pretty at that time.
Of course, time does stand. I suppose now she would be old and housewifey, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I don't think she'd be the type.
Well, I tell you what, we can find out. Come out, Christine.
Hello. Oh, God. Oh, wonderful.
Oh, well, Les, how does she look?
Well, she looks just as lovely as ever, I think. Not the housewifey look. I didn't think she would.
No, she is very pretty and has a lot of glamour, too. Christine, I was trying to find out from Les about his dancing. Perhaps you could tell us. So how did he dance at the prom?
He was the smoothest boy at the prom.
He was a smoothie, huh?
Yes, sir. He kind of jumped, though, as he came out of the dip, but gee, he was cute.
Les, did you hear that? Cute.
I sure did. I just hope Ethel heard it, because I've been telling her I was quite a dancer, and I haven't had a chance to prove it yet.
No, I see. Was he a good date, Christine?
Oh, brother.
Well, Les, we'll give you a chance to get even. Was Christine a good date?
Oh, very fine, Harry. Very fine.
Say, by the way, don't you think there's someone here Christine should meet, Lester?
I sure think she should. I'd like to have Christine meet my wife.
Well, Ethel, come up here. Of course, you don't even exist, perhaps, yet here in 1936, but this thing is going to come up sooner or later, so we might as well get it over. Introductions, Les, come on.
Honey, I want you to meet Christine. Shook is the last name now. This is my wife, Ethel.
Hello, how you doing, Christine? I look forward to this.
Thank you. I look forward to meeting you.
Well, Christine, don't you think that Les has got a lovely wife?
I'd say she's one of the sweetest girls in the world. And boy, is she pretty.
And you know what I think? I think that Les here is quite a picker. Christine, you are married now.
Yes, I'm married.
And what, your married name is?
Mrs. Patrick Shook.
Any little ones?
Yes, I have a little boy, Denny, 16 months old.
Is that so?
Oh, he's a dandy.
Well, that's something I didn't know about.
No, you'll have to bring him around for Uncle Hans to meet.
All right.
You'll do that. Now, I wonder if you'd join Lester's past over there, you and the principal, the school chums, the war buddies, and all the rest. Say, viewing it from the wheelchair here, Les, it's some life, isn't it?
It sure is. It's wonderful, I'll tell you.
Well, sir, this is your life. life. 1936 was a busy year for you, Lester Hansen. Here we are listening to the Spokane Symphony. And who is that good-looking blonde young fellow playing the violin? Do you know him?
Well, I played a violin once, Harry.
Well, it just happens to be Lester Hansen, yes. Fine-looking boy, isn't he, Les?
Well, I don't say on that.
Oh, wait a minute. He has a solo passage. Here's the violin. Go ahead, take it, Lester. It's your turn. You want to try the violin?
Okay, I sure will.
How long has it been since you've played?
Well, I tried playing once or twice while I was in the hospital, but I haven't really gone
back. Well, I tell you what you do. You join right in with the orchestra, and we want to hear it. This is your life.
All right.
You haven't lost the touch at all, Les. And the proudest person in Symphony Hall that night in Spokane was your mother, I guess, wasn't she?
I think so.
Of course, your father would have liked it too, Les, but Fred Hansen had passed away a year before that. And now Mother was getting ready to pay her folks a visit in Denmark. Her anxiety in leaving you was overcome by the fact that a very wonderful friend invited you to stay with him and his family. Who was that, Les?
That was the Reverend Wilbur W. Scape.
Yes, the Presbyterian minister. Reverend Scape was a great inspiration to you and your older brother Ralph, wasn't he, Les?
Yes, he was.
What was life like that year with Reverend Scape?
Well, I look back on it as one of the finest years of my life. I admired Reverend Scape, and many people thought because I was living with a minister that my life would be very strict and I wouldn't be allowed to do things that I wished. But in all the time I was with him, he told me just one thing, and I remembered it up to this day. And he always just said, do what you know is right. And he said, if you do that, he said, you'll always be okay.
Couldn't be any more wonderful advice. What happened? Is he still in Spokane?
No. He was transferred to a church in Bremerton.
No, I'm not, Lester. I'm right here, too.
Oh, here. Right here.
Bye, bye, Oh, it's wonderful seeing you.
Wonderful to see you, too.
Well, you know, you don't write very well.
No, no. I don't, Les. I know I don't, but it's sure good to see you. You're looking swell, Les.
I'm feeling good, too.
Well, Reverend Scape, this is 1936, remember now. What are you and Les doing tonight?
Well, we'll have a good dinner together, and Lester and I'll go over to the gym, and I'll have a little basketball with the boys. We'll come back and have a little chat together and a piece of apple pie. And then we'll hit the hill.
Well, that was just about it, too.
Is that it,
yeah.
But it certainly sounds like fun. Wish I knew you here in 1936 so I could get in on all this. And it sounds like Reverend Scape was a great shot, really.
You know, I don't think that Lester Hansen ever did a thing that wasn't really on the up and up.
No, I'd be very careful, Reverend Scape. No. Very careful. Just look at those calendars fly off the hook on the kitchen door. 1933, 1930, 1929, 1928, 1927. Tuesday afternoon, September 18th, fourth grade.
I'm sorry, Lester, but you'll have to go to the principal's office.
Oh, Lester.
You were
told
that if you boys did any more jumping on each other's backs, you would be punished.
Lester? Oh, Reverend Scape, I'm sorry you have to hear this. Perhaps you better retire for just a moment.
Well, what do you have to say for yourself? Look at me, Lester, and answer.
Lester, look out. Here she comes. Old battle axe herself.
Well, that's Miss Burke. Hello, Miss Burke.
Hello. I'm not such an old battle axe, am I?
No, I'll say not.
Yes, sir, Miss Mattie Burke, your fourth grade teacher, Les. You used to call her Battle Axe, you told me.
No, I don't think so.
Did he ever, Miss Burke?
I wouldn't know.
I don't think that he would. Tell me, what did the principal do to you when you got to his office that day, Les?
Well, as I remember it, I believe I got a paddling.
Oh, a good one?
Well, it wasn't bad. It didn't hurt too much, but you let them think that it did.
Oh, I see.
Remember, it hurt us as much as it did you because you were always such a model boy.
Yeah.
Well, as they say, Lester Hansen, that's life. Now, do you recognize this day, Les? Uh-oh. Gee whiz, ornery little cuss, isn't it? You like baby?
Yes, I do.
This one sound like anyone you know?
No. Of course,
Mrs. Merton.
Listen.
Confess, nurse.
Whose voice is that, Lester?
That's my mother.
Yes, but she's calling for the nurse, not the doctor, and the baby's crying. What's going on here? Let's ask the nurse. Nurse, Mrs. Myrtle, come out, please. We called you, nurse. Now, what is going on in there?
Why, a new baby.
No.
Uh-huh. Lester Hansen. A beautiful child.
No kidding. You hear that, Lester? She says beautiful. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a little bit too early to tell. Isn't it?
Oh, by the way, this is Lester Hansen, Mrs. Myrtle.
How do you do, Mrs. Lester. Myrtle?
Glad to know you.
Thank you.
And the only other time I did know you, you were wearing safety pins.
Well, Mrs. Myrtle, he threw those away and took on a silver star and a purple heart. By the way, how's the mother? Well, I tell you what, we might ask her. She'll know better. But no, don't look so anxious, Lester. Mom's in Spokane, Washington, I think.
Well, that's where she's supposed to be.
Oh, no. I'm not Lester. Mother is here.
Over here, Mother. Well, Mother, don't you want to congratulate Les? He's a fine 7-pound, 6-ounce boy. Isn't it good news, Les? Huh?
Yes, I'll say.
But, Mrs. Myrtle, I'm worried about something. Where is the doctor?
We didn't have any doctor. Lester beat the doctor.
Really? Well, where was the father?
Father was in his office. He just called up. I told him everything was fine. A little while after the nurse came, and we had a... I went into my bedroom. She told me to rest.
Uh-huh.
And a little while after, I had a caller because Lester was alive and she came in.
So fast. Well, isn't that... And what date was that, Lester?
That was October the 6th, 1919.
Yes, October. October 6th?
Yes.
That's today. This is your birthday.
That's right.
Les Hansen, happy birthday. Listen. Didn't that work out beautifully? Just born on your birthday, I think it's well, Les, I think that's about all there is to it. This is your life. Did you like it?
I think it was wonderful, Harry, and my gosh, I never expected to see all these people that are here in the studio.
Well, we hope it's been pleasant for you. Is there much of your life that you'd change?
No, I think I'd live the whole thing the same way as I have.
You can't think of any place now where you had a choice of two ways and wish you had taken the other?
No, I can't.
I shouldn't think there would be. It's a life to be proud of. Unless those who helped you are proud to have been even a sentence and a chapter in the story of your life. And Mom and Ethel, they make a great team, don't they?
They do. They get along swell.
Do you mind telling us, Les, of your immediate dreams?
Well, my immediate dreams now, Harry, are to really concentrate on the law books. I was admitted to law school, and I've only been going 1 week now, and I find that it certainly isn't a snap.
No, it isn't.
I've got a long, hard row ahead of me, but one of these days I'm going to get my law degree.
I don't think there's any doubt about that, Les. I think, as your past life has indicated, you'll get what you want. And I'm sure all your friends and loved ones on stage are praying your dreams come true, too. These people here are your past, Lester, and perhaps your future. Say, you want to hear the future?
Yes, I'd like to.
Well, I think that's fair. You've heard your past. Let's take a whirl at the future, Lester Hansen. After all, this is your life. Of course, we can't vouch for all of your future, Les, but this much we know. There's a fine five-room Celotex pre-engineered house waiting for you at East 32nd and Hatch Streets in Spokane when Birmingham Hospital says goodbye to you and wishes you Godspeed in the near future. How about that, Les? And
Ethel? Oh, that's wonderful.
Of course, Les, you can have the house down here in Spokane, but in Hollywood, but I understand you wanted to get into law in Spokane, is that right?
Well, that's what I thought. I thought that I'd like to go back up there.
I see. Well, while we're on that subject, here is another look into the future. Here's a man I want you to identify. Will you come out, sir?
Well, that's Mr. Arndorf, Colonel Arndorf, I mean. Hello, Colonel.
who did you say this is, Lester?
That is Colonel Arndorf. He was my commanding officer when I first went into service.
Yes, and Mr. Arndorf, or Colonel Arndorf, as you still call him, and the people always do, has something to say to you. Go ahead, Colonel.
I just wanted to say, Lester, that I could use a good lawyer in the Arndorf Law Office. And if it's agreeable with you, I'd like to have you join my firm and practice law with me.
Oh, my gosh, that's wonderful.
I think that Arndorf and Hampson would look pretty good on that office door, don't you?
I think it'd be wonderful, I'll say.
Do you accept, Les?
Well, I sure do accept, Colonel.
Well,
thank you very much.
That's wonderful, and there the story is complete. You have a mother and wife, a nation load of good wishes, and now, thanks to the Celotex Company, you have a house, and thanks to Colonel C.A. Arndorf, you have a wonderful job waiting in his fine Spokane office. Foray Brayton, you thought he was dead when you left Les Hansen on that hill on Biak.
Heck, he's just beginning to live.
Yeah. I think that's right, too.
Well,
Yes, Les Hanson, this is your life. Live it well.
Thank you, Harry. It's been wonderful going over it again.
Well, now it's time to close the book concerning Mr. Lester Hanson of Spokane, Washington. Unless there's a big reception at the Brown Derby awaiting you and your friends and family, it's been very nice knowing you. We hope you'll always be listening to other men and women who relive their past and take a look at their future on our This Is Your Life program. And maybe someone listening to you tonight has been helped by what you have said or done. Good night, Les.
Good night, Harry. Good night. Thanks so much for everything.
Has been one chapter of a new entertainment in radio in which the life of some volunteer listener is relived and in which that person is confronted with the actual people who shaped his destiny. If you know of a person whose life story you think our audience would like to hear, don't tell that person, but send a brief biography to This Is Your Life, NBC, Hollywood, California. Now here again is our host, Harry Von Zell.
Thank you, Charlie. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we will hear another real-life story with surprise visits from the past of our chosen guests. I hope you'll listen and compare, for perhaps this is your life, too. Thank you all very much, and good night.
Until next week, when again we'll present This Is Your Life, this is Charles Lyon saying good night. This Is Your Life came to you from Hollywood's Radio City. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.